I'm Maureen Ballatore, and this is Spilled Salt, a podcast on the thrills and spills from the food, beverage, and agriculture industries. This is our last episode from the season 3 of the Spilled Salt podcast, and I am so excited to round out this season's guests with Rhonda Destino. She, according to her LinkedIn profile, she's an inspired working mom. I would say that that's definitely one of the many hats that this woman wears. She is also a passionate community advocate, a former food truck business owner, an expert in grants and community impact, and food as well. So our conversation today is about all of those things and kind of where they intersect in some really interesting ways. Towards the end of our chat, we also get into some really important discussion about the grants landscape and some things to know, especially for early stage startup food and beverage companies that are looking for some very early stage funding and what are some need to knows as it relates to going down that path. Enjoy the conversation. Hey, Rhonda, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm so glad to chat with you today. Thanks for joining me for the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I was so excited. I am an avid listener, so thank you so much.
Love it. That's great. So if there's any point to like make reference to a prior episode to do that, like if there's anything that you're talking about, because I know that we've had some folks that you know as previous guests on the podcast too. So
yeah,
I always love to start with a little bit of background, and especially for you who has experience ranging from nonprofits, municipalities, and now in food. But so give us a little bit of a foundational baseline. Talk through your early work for us, going all the way back to your early career work with child advocacy.
Absolutely. So it all kind of sums up into communication. Love to share the stories that folks have on the ground. So my undergrad work was political science and public communication right at SUNY Brockport. And then I graduated and went to the nation's capital. Started my career there in advocacy using politics and communication. Did graduate work at American University and really kind of found that I loved the community impact that my work could be. Of course, a lot of folks were gearing the degree towards next step of law school or next step to run a campaign. And I said, I really enjoy that kind of middle ground of sharing the people's story on Capitol Hill and, of course, in state government and local government, which I found to be extremely important to the process. So flash forward, I found myself missing the upstate New York appeal. Of course, when we're all young, we think, I got to get out of here. This is not for me. Grew up in Wayne County and now really, really respect the foundation that I had and the experiences that I now can connect. In a previous job, was able to work with the municipalities that I grew up living in and seeing the changes not only that were occurring, but that I could assist with. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, obviously I love food and I love to enjoy what the Finger Lakes and upstate have to offer when it comes to beverage. But I met my now spouse, who is a chef by trade, and fell in love with all facets of, you know, the start of a business, a food business, and then what does that look like connecting other community partners when it's a food-related mission. Mm. And so we had a food truck and catering business, sold it a few years ago. As we may recall, there was a pandemic that made the food industry look scary.
So different, yep.
Aware of that. So my very pregnant self said, I think we need to pause. And we sold the truck and I started working in nonprofits many years ago, and different connections along the way have brought me to today, where my parent organization leader, the RDDC leader, Galen, says, you know, quite a unicorn when she met me, that there was nonprofit experience and leadership, as well as all of the other really random things that you need to do to run something like a shared kitchen incubator space. So I've been here since the end of May at the Rochester Commissary. So that's a short line of my history of how it all connects, but it does really connect to sharing the stories of whoever I'm working with and drawing in the community to be those helpful partners. So we do that every day at the Rochester Commissary and couldn't do it without folks that obviously you connect with every day. But that is where it came from and how I got here.
I love something that you said, connecting community partners through food and beverage being, you know, something that you loved doing while you were doing the food truck. And it relates so well too to what you're doing now. I think that there's been a lot of folks, guests on the podcast that are working in the upstate New York, Greater Finger Lakes food and beverage ecosystem. And there's this thread of like collaboration and community. And, you know, you talked about like you loved community impact as being one of the things that brought you into the work that you're doing. So I wanna focus just briefly on like your work with municipalities and local governments, because I think that especially is, like you said, you are a unicorn for the role that you have and the experience that you bring to the table. What about that work was meaningful for you in terms of your municipal and, you know, kind of community work from that angle?
Oh, it's incredible. You know, I could share many, many examples about how knowing your local government really is so impactful to your day to day. Obviously, national things get attention, statewide things get attention, but what is happening in your own town or city? And then what's happening in your county. And I think that for so often, those things can be overlooked and the degree of importance is so high. So when, you know, even talking to folks about the commissary, it's like, this is not in New York State very frequently, the shared kitchen opportunity. And it took in the history. And again, I came in after the build, so I feel very lucky that was quite a gift, because there was a lot of political conversation and things that needed to happen because of the regulatory side and where we were in food and bev here. And so I do think that I was able to have that experience of a couple of decades worth of either going to city council meetings very often and then talking and following up with city officials, but also just navigating of where that comes from, having a start. I'm able to do that for my own community still. My neighborhood is very important to me. I worked for several years in the city of Geneva on their neighborhood initiatives, obviously how I got to know wonderful people like yourself. That's how you get things really accomplished as a community. So there could be a law or regulation out there, but how does that feel on the ground? How does that work to accelerate anything that we're trying to do? It could be building a park versus getting small businesses into our area, attracting businesses into our area, and how do we do that? So that kind of variety of municipal work that I did, it's crucial to my day-to-day. I mean, it's even, we have a neighborhood concern at the moment and people were literally finding me at the mailbox. Like, I know you know how to do this. How can we figure this out? And I love to be that person. It really is just so nice being able to share people's experience. And if I can help them navigate the path to something that works out well for them in the community or a community as a whole. I mean, that type of energy, I never mind being at a meeting, or I never mind being the person that is at the podium. I'm happy to be that role for folks. So that's really the connective tissue, I think, in anything that we're trying to do. Food and bev for sure, but anything that I've worked on, I have felt that same energy and spirit around.
And I think that when you seek positivity and when you exude positivity, it finds you, right? And you can kind of inject it into any scenario, because I think that there you can just as easily go the other direction with it, right? That, you know, to have a negative attitude about your local government and that kind of thing. But when you think of it as what's possible and how can I attract more small businesses to my region, what's needed from a resource component, right? Like going back to your work in Geneva, which I'm sure you're applying the same concept to the commissary. Yeah. What are the resources that are needed to help this community, either people that live here, people who come here to incubate their businesses, what's going to help them succeed?
100%. And we have so many good partnerships that I walked into. Rochester is such a great resource city. And I had not done a lot of focused work within Rochester, definitely in Monroe County and the Finger Lakes. Mm-hmm. And I've been welcomed in every room that I've been to. The commissary in general, the members, of course, have blazed this path for me to be able to be effective in rooms. I don't have to share who we are very often. I share how we're going to move, you know, businesses forward or a specific member business forward and thinking creatively in that way. But absolutely, as folks hear from me, they kind of understand that I know where they're coming from, especially if it's a small business owner, I get it. If it's somebody working for city government, I get it. And so I think that's really been so nice to be able to personalize it with just that understanding. And so we're all working towards the same goal. So in a lot of ways, that's made my job very easy because those things were already there within myself and experience, but also within this organization. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible. And our membership, their passion, it's hard not to be positive around our members because even on those hard days as small business owners, I mean, they're exhausted. They're trying to do so much on their own, but their passion and obviously their food or beverage is amazing. So really allowing them to tell their story in as many ways that we can is something that keeps that energy going. We teach a lot of our educational pieces at night. And one of the things that is so apparent, I hear them as they come into a session or I hear them when they come into a workshop, they've been up all day. They're exhausted. They have a million other places they could be. They have kiddos at home that it's, you know, almost time to read that bedtime story. And they're here and they're giving that energy. And so one thing that I always say that I, you know, I try not to be too real, but not too trite either. That balance of, hey, when you're working on your small business, in the beginning, in the middle, and the end, you're doing it early in the morning, late at night, when you could squeeze it in. You know, if you're a food truck owner, you're focusing on your food production and events during your day. So to hear that they're tired coming into a workshop, but they're being creative in that state. I want everybody to take personal care of themselves, but know that as a small business owner, this is when your brain does need to work. This is when your brain does need to be creative. And so that part has shown itself more lately because we're running so many programs in this time of year, because obviously in the summer, it's much more higher production with a lot of our members. So right now it's learning and collaborating, and they're finding the time to do that.
You mentioned that it's easy for you to be able to continue to move the organization forward because of the path that was laid for you before you arrived. I think you're not giving yourself enough credit in some of those areas. Yes, I agree that your predecessors, Laura Fox O'Sullivan, was integral in launching and running the commissary for a lot of years. And did an excellent job at that. But it's easy for you because it is the perfect role for you based on your previous experience and your passions. And so it's easy because it is your perfect fit role, right? And with respect to the work-life balance thing, I mean, you too, right? Having a food truck in the, you know, in the background of your history. And, you know, I felt it too from when I was those early stages of starting the business. You're striving for a work-life balance, but you're also, you know, in some cases working overtime for yourself to avoid working 40 hours for somebody else, right? And that there's something there about you're driving your own, you know, you're fueled by your own passion, you're driving your own thing forward. Why do you think the commissary is such an important resource for the people of downtown Rochester?
Oh my goodness. It's incredible because, of course, when we first started hearing about the commissary as food truck owners, as a small food business, I was like, wow, if only this would have existed when we were in our idea stage. And really that quicker connection to resources. And then, of course, the financial barriers too of you don't have to buy new equipment. It's here. It's a rentable space. You could really try some things out at a lower risk of a long-term lease or something of that magnitude when it comes to those fixed costs that you could get into.
Yep.
So for downtown, you know, it's all part of this revitalization of this area. I mean, our kitchen is within the Sibley building. It has a lot of history, but it's also right across the street from Parcel 5, the green space that the history of that section of Rochester coming together. And that's where it is really interesting that the history of working with municipalities of revitalization and getting back to your main street and really thriving back out of the suburbs into downtown. To have that history, nobody had to sell me on what we're trying to do when it comes to let's fill the storefronts. What better option to have a new restaurant or, you know, a storefront that has multiple local products in it? That's so much of the goal. And so where that comes from is the history not only of Rochester and this specific area in Rochester, what a influential connection right here. I mean, I can look out the window and you're seeing these really historical presence, but then also it's right down the street from Jiva. It's 2 seconds from hopping on the thruway. You know, you get all of these connections right here that we hope would grow people's awareness and customer base of our members. But if we have all of these members that want to join, that means we are filling a gap in this area in Rochester for an opportunity for food and beverage business. So, and I've seen it. I've seen people grow into their own spaces. I've seen people open their food trucks.
That have graduated out of the incubator and into their own spaces in the community.
Yes, and growing their product lines and connecting with local stores. And that is an initiative that was handed to me in the sense of we had received as an organization a grant that said, we really need to do something about a grab and go concept, a place where people could buy products that are produced in the commissary. And I said, okay, that sounds wonderful. And thank you for the efforts of a grant and then an accepted award. But then it was like, how do we do that within our space? What are the limitations? Our limitations, the biggest one is our square footage. As folks could see, you could hop on our website and there's a walking tour you could give yourself virtually. We really used a very nook and cranny operation, got a partner in that knows vending and micro markets and said, this is where the capacity is going to come from. You've built out hundreds of these locally, if not thousands in the state. And so we made it work, and it's a self serve credit card operation for our micro market. And this is just the beginning. We want it to grow and grow. But what really is important to downtown is that is here, folks can buy those local goods here, general public that we're growing to then be online later this year. But what we discovered is there was this whole section of members, the product-based members, that we now are their first wholesaling customer.
Right.
We buy their products from them to sell in our micro market for numerous details. That's the reason why we're doing it. But it was like an exercise for them to grow in their own business to say, okay, we're a friendly audience. We're here to support you. They still had to pitch us just like we were anyone else, and really come up with the specs of their product, be ready to be on a shelf, visually appealing, going through all the regulations of a label, a bottle process, et cetera. But now we're starting to see this all come full circle where folks are getting into small grocery stores. We are pitching grocery stores as a collective to say, hey, we'd love a commissary end cap that we could see what really sells. And then say one of our members, like Gina from Divina Chocolates, has an amazing chocolate syrup that she just launched in the last 6 months. And so if that goes really well, then she can get her own shelf space.
Right. Yeah.
But we're making the end cap or commissary shelf look appealing in our local stores in addition to the micro market. So we're going to take this show on the road in a big way in March. We are being showcased in the Home and Garden show this year.
Wow, that's exciting.
Yeah, super exciting. And so there'll be lots more details about that. But, you know, again, the connection of a small town girl, I was like, I used to go to the Chase Pickens show with my dad every year. And now it's still, you know, it's changed names
right.
and it's
yeah,
got
it's
different
Chase
organizers.
Yep.
I'm like, how great is this? There's so many people and the potential yeah. of connecting to future customers and having some fun. So
right. That's
yeah,
awesome.
that is so important to the connection to downtown Rochester, the region, but then really being able to see some of these projects take off, as I'm sure the founders of this organization were dreaming about when they were writing on a whiteboard
right.
and figuring it
right.
out. So
yeah. One of the, going back to the very early days when Rhonda and I were both working in Geneva, I had a co-working space that was created by the city whose original goal was to incubate small businesses to encourage them to grow up and out into the community and have storefronts, because that's an economic developer's dream, right? Is where there's a tangible growth into the community, right? But one of the things that was happening was that it became a place where people wanted to kind of stay and incubate their business in potentially different ways that didn't necessarily involve a storefront. And I think that there's some synergies there too with the commissary, right? That somebody who has a CPG product that's going to go on shelf, they're going to always need production space, but it might be growing up and out into a co-packer as opposed to a storefront, right? That there's many ways that a business can grow. You were mentioning that one of the reasons why the commissary is important is because of the resources that are available to very early stage companies that are just getting a start. And I
yes.
think that's especially important for minority owned businesses that are starting, right? That they might not have the history of resources available to them for all sorts of reasons. And so a majority of the commissary members identify as a minority. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's again, that community impact piece of Rochester has done a really great job of identifying some barriers and identifying,
right, exactly.
you know, some of the real truths around opening their own business. And absolutely. And so being part of a segmented group myself of being a woman-owned business, being a lesbian-owned business, I mean, we've seen that and we've felt it. And again, being able to pick those identifiers out in a grant application is easy, but how do we get those things happening on the ground? And a lot of those reducing risks, reducing costs
yes.
in a space like ours is so helpful. And we have really those collaborations, like you were talking about, like in a shared space, of course, you're going to talk to the person next to you. You're in production for hours and hours in a station.
Right.
And so we are already seeing this, that members are using each other's products in a recipe, or they have these natural collaborations. Not only can they get together around, they're in the same space and time, they're doing the same thing, so they are a support system in that way, they get it. But
right.
it's also really being able to say, wonderful, let's work together
yeah.
in this really intentional way. Whether it's, I've seen it with a couple of our members, they're doing these focused events, cultural events that are around specific celebrations of populations. And so I love that more attention is getting to that way, not only in the city, but also very intentional work, I feel like on all levels, and including the sources of funding. So our organization
right.
is heavily grant funded. And so being able to have that data that is supporting where they are headed and a lot of the purposeful conversations that are happening at Rochester City Hall. Mm-hmm. I think we are doing a great job to say, we're mirroring what you're saying and we are having success. Mm-hmm. So yes, right. 100%. I think this is so important to emphasize. So thank mm-hmm. you. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one of the reasons I love the commissary. And I work as an EIR and I'm proud to do that because of a lot of those reasons that you've just gone through. You have amazing experience in grants, and you mentioned that the commissary is heavily grant funded. I know you have a lot of grant experience from your past in local government and yeah. some other ancillary organizations as well. So I am often asked by early stage startups, how can I get a sliver of grant funding, right? And I think that there's a common misconception that money is gifted to you because you fit certain criteria. Not that that's impossible, but it's certainly the exception as opposed to the majority, right? So yes. What are your thoughts about how, you know, what are some of the kind of the 101 on grants for small and scaling businesses to kind of be aware of what might be available to them and what they should expect?
Incredible question, because this is, I mean, it's so misrepresented in a way of just historically, yeah, here's some grant money, and that somehow equals free money.
Right.
And I find that I am in this conversation often, not only with our members, but also, you know, in our structure, in our board structure, in what we're mm-hmm. trying to do in strategic planning, because I'll use one example of it is not free money, because a lot of times, especially if it's tied to a government entity, there's some type of match of a fund
right.
that needs to exist. The applications can be pretty tough. So a lot mm-hmm. of folks will have to get support. And here at the commissary, our members right. get support for myself. But a lot of times, small businesses are looking for those resources, which mm-hmm. Rochester does have those entities. And same thing, private companies would have that support as well. For one of the examples that I use pretty often is our small businesses, they want to move fast. They want to mm-hmm. get to where they're going. They want to get to that next phase. And if money is going to get them there, I say grants are so long. They're so long. So yes. if you are really looking to get to that next step and you need it next week, next month, right. et cetera, that's not the case. And what is a misrepresentation a lot in conversations that I've had with members is, you know, the reimbursable grant that
yes.
is just not understood and not heard of. So I have to then, you know, be the bearer of bad news to say you have to have the funding somehow to mm-hmm. pay it out to then be reimbursed, mm-hmm. but you will be waiting some time to get mm-hmm. reimbursed. So you have to carry yourself. Yes, we have partners that can help in that depending on the projects, but that level of, okay, you're still going to spend the money and then futuristically you'll get paid back. There's a lot of paperwork and nitty gritty
things. Right, exactly. Yeah.
But that's why I love like when we talk about crowdsourcing or Kiva mm-hmm. grants or, you know, the GoFundMe era of things, because yeah, that is what they think about is instantaneous mm-hmm. In a way. But when I've really started talking about, we, like I said, grant funded heavily here.
Yep.
We have some equipment dollars that Empire State Development in the last consolidated funding application series last summer, we were awarded. Didn't find out, obviously, until closer to the end of the year. We have a year to spend the money. Then will we be reimbursed? And so even in a budgetary line as an organization, we're looking at 2025.
Right,
that
exactly.
That money's back yes. in our you know, bank account kind of thing.
Right.
So I definitely take the time with folks, because small business grants that will have a direct impact in a timely manner are so hard to find. And that's why we are trying to think very creatively at the commissary. Are we in the future some type of micro grant
yeah,
grantee right. and, mm-hmm. and that sort of thought process? And mm-hmm. that takes a lot of planning and strategy. And then who are our financial partners
right.
that are going to help us with that? But so those are conversations that we're starting to
yeah.
have. But the grant conversation, I think, always comes to be, they could get it really quick.
Right.
It's easy money. It's free money. And so we have to really break down the applications. And anybody who sees things online that's a member, I'm like, send it my way. And we'll just break it down of what's needed. Mm-hmm. And so far, 9 out of 10 times, they're saying, oh, yeah, this isn't going to fit what I'm trying to do. So if you want a food truck on the road this summer, we needed to really be applying, you know, last summer at least, to then be able to get you where you need to be.
Yeah. And that's why I like to make sure that I did with the commissary an info 101 session last year about funding. And we had Frank Cavallero from Ithaca Hummus, myself, and Rob Poltrino from Skull Diamond Heart Capital, who all very kindly shared some things to know about access to capital, which was the whole topic of the discussion, not just grants, but access to capital in a lot of different ways. And so it was interesting to me for one of my key takeaways of, oh, there is a misunderstanding about grants, because there was an undertone of, you know, how dare the audacity, right? Of, I don't have the money to bring to the table to get a matching grant. You have to, that's not an option for me because you have to bring so much to the table. And it's like, well, you also have to have skin in the game, you know, and that's with any, you know, investment strategy. You have the, anybody who's going to give you any kind of money, whether it's a grant, a pitch competition, a VC funder, you know, any, even crowdfunding, right? They want to make sure that you've got skin in the game. And so prior to this discussion, we had Addie, who used to be with WeFunder, who was on the podcast. So anybody who, if you missed that episode, you can go back and listen to that one too, where he talks a little bit more about that sort of side of things, which is good to explore as well. So, final question for you, any parting thoughts or recommendations for anybody who's in the greater Rochester area, who's looking to get into food bev, where they should start?
Yes. If they're looking to get into food and bev, just look at our website, see what we have to offer. But, you know, we have really tried our best to get any barriers down to where we can possibly, and growing the benefits on the same side of, you know, we're just not a rentable kitchen space only. That's a huge asset to what we do, of course. But it really is all of these additional programs and connections that we can get to really accelerate what they're trying to do. So I would say, give me a call. My number is the one on the website. You can reach me directly, my email, or if you fill out the form that goes directly to my email. I really want to make sure that folks start out in a positive way. We get to know all about your business, but we don't want to see you get in and then stumble around and get into some things that you realize you weren't just ready yet. Mm-hmm. So what I always like to say is, you know, it might not be today, but let's keep in contact. I will make the connections. We'll connect around, but it might not be today that you're getting your hypothetical membership card.
Right.
And that's on purpose. That's because we want to help you. We don't want to have you come in and be not ready. And so for those of you in food and bev and might be interested, we are always giving tours. You can come on in and or email or call us, and we can walk through what this looks like on our space. But in addition, come on in and go shopping at the commissary.
Yeah, I was just going to say, on the flip side, the commissary also has caterers. It's not just CPG. So there's lots of ways for the local corporations to benefit the small businesses too.
Absolutely. That's why in my email signature, it's like, hey, you looking to do a lunch or a team building event? We partnered with the Rochester Brainery at the end of last year. They cook three cooking classes a week in our space in the evenings. And that has been great to have additional people into our space that might not have been previously. But we do team building. It could be during the day where you and your team come down and you're making empanadas or learning how to make gnocchi. We do all of those things. We are extending our partnerships all the time. But yeah, we have lots of opportunity for folks to get to know who we are and how it might fit them. if they don't want to run a food or beverage company, but how can they get into this really awesome foodie community? Foodpreneurs are amazing group of people to hang out with. So that would be awesome.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Rhonda. Appreciate you telling your story and taking the time for the podcast today.
Thank you for listening to Spilled Salt. I'm Maureen Bellatori. For more information about the podcast, visit www.agency-29.com. If you have questions for me or you'd like to recommend a guest for a future episode, you can send a message using the contact form on the website. Like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts so you never miss an episode.